rise above any storms or problems we may encounter. Help us to remember to wait on you so you can renew our strength. Help us to release the things we can't control into your hands and to live in the fullness of your joy. And Lord, I humbly ask for clarity this morning as I share your word with your people. I pray that we will be receptive to your word, and this will be used to glorify you and also for us to better our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I just thought I should share a few struggles I went through this week trying to prepare for the sermon, as this scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, 4 to 8, kept coming. And I'm thinking, it's a well-familiar scripture or verse, but I'm thinking, will I be able to do justice as the Lord wants me to do? And during the week, I've been losing a little bit of focus and inspiration, and for those of you that I spoke to you about, and only to wake up this morning and with this voice in my head saying that you should not preach the word. And I'm thinking, is this coming from God or is this coming from the devil? And then this morning, as we were praying with Elaine, without knowing what I've been going through, mentioned that in her prayers. And I'm thinking, you know what? It's all coming together now. Because I've been trying this week to explore biblical foundations, something that is relevant to our contemporary situation or our contemporary concerns that we face. So I was looking at a topic that will examine our own personal foundations so that we will be able to identify any areas that we need to seek true security in Christ. So for the purpose of today, the title is Built on the Rock, Finding Security in Christ. It sounds complicated, but it's not. Before I go into it, I want to kind of acknowledge our human desire for stability and also for security, because it is really, really important. As human beings, we deeply yearn for stability and security. There's nothing wrong with that, because this is our fundamental human need, something that is a cornerstone to our well-being. So this desire can manifest in several ways. So we want financial security. We want to be comfortable. We want to have a steady income. We want to have a home. Emotional security. We want to be able to enjoy a loving relationship. We want to have a sense of belongings and also emotional support in everything that we do. We can talk about physical security. We want to be protected. We want a safe environment. We want an environment from harm. We want to be able to access our basic needs. Social security, you can talk about the sense of belonging to a community. No man is an island on its own. So we need a community. We need a network of support. We need a place within the society where we can function really well. Material resources, yes, we need food, we need water, we need shelter, we need health care. We need all these things so that these things will provide us with a sense of security. Relationship, we need strong bonds with family, with friends, with partners. All this provide us a sense of belonging, which can contribute to this feeling of security. And it's really nice to have that. Social and cultural institutions, so this can be places like our government, law enforcement, even religious institutions. People rely on these mediums so that they can seek protection. And it kind of creates a sense of order for us. When it comes to our personal struggles, you know, we all face challenges in life. We have health issues. We have relationship problems. The loss of loved ones, you know, people experience bereavement, and sometimes we wonder whether life is even worthwhile. we can sometimes become lonely and disconnected from society and from people when we find ourselves experiencing these things. But however we see it, all these experiences either shakes or shape our sense of security. And sometimes we don't even realize that. So these are everyday experiences that we go through. You know, sometimes we hear our fellow brothers and sisters who have kind of like lost their faith, they've fallen out of favor after they've experienced traumatic experiences or they've gone through traumatic experiences. So some of these things can cause people to doubt if God is truly caring. But can we find security at all in God? I remember following the 9/11 attacks, many people, particularly within even the Christian community, they did question God's role and presence, often asking, you know, where was God when all these things happened? But the yearning for stability and security is deeply ingrained within us. So these drives our decisions and it shapes our worldview and everything that we do. So we have to go to work, we have to feed our families, we have to feel safe. You know, we've got security systems at home, special locks, everything to make us feel secure. When we look at the Bible, let's look at a few people who have sought security in various ways. The people of Israel, the people of Babel in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 to 9, they were driven by fear and insecurity that they sought to build this tower to reach the heaven, you know, believing that this is something that will provide them with the safety and permanence. This was kind of like a total deviation from what the instructions that God gave them to go out there and multiply and fill the earth. But however, all their attempts to find security in human achievements and even self-reliance, all of this was thwarted by God. Abraham, for example, when he was faced with famine, he lied about his wife Sarah, you know, seeking to protect himself. But this revealed his insecurity and his lack of trust at the time in the promises that God wanted to give him. King Saul, for example, feeling very insecure about the position as a king, you know, he faced a lot of challenges and offered unauthorized sacrifices, and he disobeyed God's commands. All of this was an act of disobedience that stemmed from his fear and also, as human, his desire to control things. When we look at the people of Israel in the kingship era, despite God warning Israel about the corrupting nature of kings, they said they wanted a king. So God said to Samuel, give them a king. So their desire to have a king, to provide that security and stability for them, like all the other nations, because the people of Israel saw that all the other nations were being ruled by kings, and they were like, well, why can't we also have it? But the Bible tells us that none of the 19 kings of Israel were able to provide the kingdom of Israel that stability and security that they needed. And we can find this in 1 Samuel chapter 8. So the question this morning is, where does true security come from? Can we actually buy it? Is it tangible? Is it something that we see? So when we come to material possessions, these can create temporary comfort for us. Wealth also can vanish. We can lose possessions. They can be destroyed, you know. And even our bodies are subject to decay, because when we die, our bodies decay once it goes into the ground. I think it even starts decaying before we are even buried, depending on how long we stay in. We can liken this to the paradox of materialism. So this highlights a contradiction between the pursuit of material possession and the attainment of true happiness. They just don't go together. So while material possessions can provide that temporary pleasure for us or that inconvenience that we want, they can fail to deliver lasting stability or satisfaction for us. And sometimes there can be negative consequences for all of these. So it is clear that we can't place our security in material things. Our human connections can be fragile. Relationships, they are very precious, but relations are very fragile. Well, thank God. This week, we didn't have any... We didn't. Yes. So our life circumstances can change, you know. People move away. Even close bonds that we have, sometimes they can weaken over time. So placing our ultimate security in human connections alone can leave us very vulnerable to all the inevitable changes and losses that life sometimes can bring to us. Our children leave home. I mentioned this before, when my dad passed away, that bond that I had between me and my dad was broken. So I felt very detached from everything. But I bottled everything inside me because I felt that security my dad provided for me has vanished into thin air because I've lost him and he was gone. The security our parents provide for children is also fundamental to a child's health development. So parents provide emotional safety, physical safety. They help children to increase in their social and cognitive development, and basically the well-being of the child. However, parents have limitations. So parents cannot perfectly shield their children from every hardship that they go through. We also have to acknowledge the limitations of control. So we strive to control our lives. It is something human for us to do. We seek security through so many things. But yet, life throws curveballs towards us, and that actually causes us or reminds us of the limitations that we have as human beings. So we experience disasters, we experience illnesses. There are unforeseen events that can shatter our carefully constructed sense of security that we have. Now, let me pose a rhetorical question. Have you ever felt truly secure? You know, despite our comforts and everything, the loving relationship that we endure. If life is going on good for you, we have to praise God for that. But is there something deeper that we are missing, something that is so enduring that we are all searching for? That lasting security that only Christ can provide for us. So as Christians, how we live on this side of eternity really, really, in fact, matters. So I chose 1 Peter chapter 2. And this is a rich chapter that emphasizes the importance of living as God's chosen people, building our lives on Christ, and fulfilling our role as royal priesthood. So today's passage speaks directly to us as believers or Christians. It reminds us that God actually plays a crucial role in our lives. And that role includes providing us with lasting security we cannot find anywhere else. So to delve into this scripture, I have chosen to address three key connections to finding security in Christ. The first one is Jesus as a cornerstone, believers as a living stone, and the rejection and acceptance of Jesus. What role does Christ play in our lives? If we can't answer this question today, then maybe we can't find the answers by the end of the sermon. Because 1 Peter chapter 2, 4-8 also explores a metaphor of Jesus as a living cornerstone. And it also considers how we build our lives upon this solid foundation, because it is only Christ who provides this solid foundation. So Jesus as the cornerstone. It says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and very precious. Verse 4. It is important for us to explore the concept of cornerstone, because these have profound implications across the various fields of disciplines. So cornerstone has a symbolic importance. The cornerstone is a symbol of stability, strength, reliability, as it is the first stone that is laid, and it sets the alignment for the entire building to make sure that the building is stable. Cornerstone has a metaphorical application also. So in everyday life, cornerstone can be used to describe something like a fundamental belief, maybe a principle. We can liken it to maybe a person's character or maybe the mission of an organization or a company. But today, I want us to look at the concept of cornerstone as a biblical significance, because the most prominent use of cornerstone metaphor in the Bible specifically refers to Jesus Christ. So I want you to imagine a builder who selects each stone for their foundation. You know, some of these stones sometimes are discarded. You know, perhaps they are just cracked, or they are too small to fit into the alignment. Now, imagine also a stone rejected by other builders, which is rough. That stone is very rough, unassuming. Perhaps this stone is considered unworthy or worthless. But you have this builder with this discerning eye who sees the unique strength or that potential in that stone. So this stone, which has been overlooked by so many people, is chosen to be the cornerstone. And that is added as part of the structure for the entire building. So despite everything that Christ did, Jesus was someone who embodied the spirit of love, purity, you know, divine grace. But he was met with this rejection. Jesus was hated, and ultimately he was crucified by the same people he came to save. But Christ offers us forgiveness. He offers us eternal life and healing. But yet, he faced hostility and he faced disbelief. So like this rejected stone, sometimes we may also feel unworthy, and we may feel helpless. We may feel burdened. Sometimes we may feel we are being overlooked. Or sometimes we feel broken by life experiences. And that happens. But yet, God in his own infinite wisdom sees every value in us, because God places a lot of value in us. God chooses us not because we are perfect, but he chooses us for his purpose, because we are precious to him. We are like the cornerstone upon which he wants to build his kingdom. So the true value for us is determined by God and not by our human opinion. So Jesus represents an unshakable foundation for our Christian faith. We all face challenges. We all go through difficult moments. And sometimes these challenges can cause us to discard our faith or even to question God. So however grounding our relationship is, sometimes we do question. But we can always find a true source of strength and comfort in Christ, because he is the foundation upon which our lives are built. Without him, our lives become very unstable. We will lack direction in our lives, and the true security that we want, we will not be able to find it. So the foundation of truth, Jesus also is the embodiment of the truth because his teachings provide a solid foundation for our beliefs and also our values. He offers strength and support in times of difficulty. He promises to be with us, always providing comfort and guidance. Christ also provides us with a community and belonging. So through Jesus, we are kind of connected to a community of believers who offer support to us, encouragement, and also we feel that sense of stability. I came across this blog and which read that hallelujah for Christ as the all-inclusive stone, the cornerstone which fits us all in God's temple, which is his dwelling place. And I kind of like the word. He is an all-inclusive stone. All the stones coming together makes it inclusive. The second connection I want us to look at is believers as living stones. So from verse 5, it says, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up a spiritual sacrifice which is acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I want us to imagine a magnificent cathedral. So the UK can boast of 42 cathedrals, as far as I know. Dr. John Ing, who is the Bishop of Worcester, said, England has no finer treasure than its cathedral. So UK's cathedral make a great contribution to their country's spiritual life. So when you see the building, when you see the cathedral standing there, it is not just a pile of bricks and mortar. I was reading how many people was involved in building some of these cathedrals and the skills that they needed to be able to work together to put it up. It is a masterpiece, a testament of human ingenuity and also of faith. But here is one thing. It wasn't even built by a single architect or maybe a lone mason. It was a collective effort. It was a symphony of skilled hands that worked together towards a common vision. So each stone was very unique. So just like the stones that make up the cathedral, each of us here, we are unique. We all have our own individual talents, our individual gifts, and our own individual personalities. And every stone within the cathedral contributes to something. So some of the stones are visible, some are not visible. Some have been wedged in a corner to provide some stability. But they all form the grand arches and the intricate details to put the cathedral together. While others are hidden somewhere, they also provide support from within. So a single stone plays a very important or vital role within the overall structure. It's also a collective purpose. The stones aren't just sitting there. They are part of a larger purpose. The cathedral stands as a house of worship, a place of prayer, and a beacon of hope within the community. So just as these stones are kind of fitted together to form that strong structure, we believers are also interconnected as part of the body of Christ. So how do we connect all of this to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5? We also are living stones. So God expects us not to be passive. God expects us that we take active participation in the building of his kingdom. We can always find true security when we do that. We are also being built up a spiritual house. So we should not be individuals existing in isolation. We have to be part of the living. We have to be part of the community of believers. We have to be part of the church. A holy priesthood. God does not want us to be mere spectators, because God has called us to serve. God wants us to offer our lives as a living sacrifice to Him. We've been called into service, and we are expected to use our gifts, our talents, and everything that we have to serve God. And this also includes our acts of love, our acts of kindness, the compassion that we have towards others. To offer up spiritual sacrifices, which is acceptable to God. Our sacrifices are not burnt offerings or any animal sacrifices. They are kind of an expression of our faith, our love, our service, our obedience, and also our witness. How can we apply this? How can we, as living stone, contribute to the building up of God's church? I'll give you a second to think about it whilst I... What we are trying to achieve here is not just about waking up every Sunday and attending church services. Being a living stone actually involves active participation in the life of others, in the life of the church, and also serving. So we all have gifts, we all have talents that we use to serve, but how are we using these talents? How are we using these gifts that God has given to us? Do we even know the gifts that God has given to us? Do we recognize them? And if you are asking yourself, has God actually given me a gift or a talent? My answer is yes, God has given each and every one of us a gift. Because the Bible says that God has given everyone different gifts and talents, as we read from Romans chapter 12, verse 6. So how are we using these talents and gifts that God has given us? How are we sharing our faith with those around us? I listened to Alex's sermon last Sunday because I wasn't in church, and he preached on the hope for the church. He mentioned that we need to go back to the things that we used to do that we've stopped doing. If we used to pray, we should go back to praying, encouraging us to seek God's face. We should continue to study God's word. If we've stopped doing it, we should go back to all those things that we used to do. And he likened that to the opposition that the people of Israel faced. But despite that opposition, God provided a way out. For it stands written, verse 6, "See, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious stone, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So Peter connects this verse to Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Emphasizing the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy in Jesus Christ. So Isaiah 28:16 says, "So this is what the sovereign Lord says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, which is a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be shaken with panic." So by quoting Isaiah 28, Peter connects the Old Testament prophecy to the reality of Jesus Christ. So Peter is emphasizing the importance of Christ in our lives, or the importance of our Christian faith, and how do we hold on to this Christian faith for us to believe it is the source of true security for us as believers. That those who build our lives upon Christ will never be disappointed. So Christ is the tested stone. So if we can't believe in the tested stone, then we are lost forever. I want you to imagine trying to enjoy your meal on a wobbly table. and the plate's kind of moving, and every time you try to move, you know, the, you can see that it's threatening to slide off. I want you to connect that to your life. Our lives can feel like a wobbly table sometimes. And especially when we try to find stability in things other than God. Sometimes we want to find stability in our wealth. Sometimes we want to find stability in our faith. Sometimes we want to find stability in our careers. And sometimes we want to find stability even in our relationship. But we know that even the strongest of bonds can always be broken. But Christ offers us this steady, immovable foundation. So when we build our lives on Him, we find the true stability and we find true security. He is the cornerstone that can build our lives. I want us to picture again a builder constructing a skyscraper. Just picture it in your head. So they just wouldn't start haphazardly putting the bricks anywhere or even on top of each other. They will carefully select the bricks and lay the foundation. And this foundation becomes a solid bedrock upon which that whole structure depends. So how do we relate this to our faith? Because our faith in Jesus Christ is like that foundation. It's not just believing in His existence, but it's about how we build our lives on Him. The last part of verse 6 says, whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. Finding security in Christ doesn't mean that we won't go through storms. But what he's trying to say that when life storms come, when we lose our jobs, you know, when we are ill, when things go wrong in our lives, our faith is not shaken because our faith is on the cornerstone, which is Christ. And once we are rooted in that cornerstone, Christ will not disappoint us. So Christ is always the steady support for us, that unshakable foundation that we can always rely on. How many of us have got a diamond? I want you to imagine a flawless diamond, something that is precious, you know, something that is valuable to you, and something that is worth you cherishing. So Christ is described as this precious cornerstone. He is that valuable to us, even than the earthly treasures that we can have. So what if I tell you that placing our trust in Christ is not a gamble? You will believe me, right? And that is what it is. It is like an investment that we invest in Christ. But all these investments yield incredible returns. It's more than an ISA. This gives us eternal joy. It gives us peace. And it gives us a purpose that even transcends this world. I like C.S. Lewis, and I want to share a little bit of his story. So he was an atheist before. And his own journey to Christianity is a powerful testament to finding security in Christ. He experienced a period of personal struggle and intellectual exploration. So C.S. Lewis' own conversion to Christianity gives us that powerful example to finding security in Christ. And this happened in the 1930s. So he was a renowned atheist. He was also a literary scholar. But he was grappled with a lot of existential questions and a profound sense of meaningless in his life. But he had a group of friends who were Christians and who always engages him in conversation about his faith. But a pivotal moment occurred during one late night when he was having discussions with his friends. They challenged his assumptions about Christ. they forced him to confront the radical claims of Christianity. But Lewis, who is known to be a very intellectual person, he was compelled to examine the evidence that they've presented to him. And he was actually grappled with these implications of Jesus' teachings. So Lewis came to the realization that Jesus Christ was either a Lord, a lunatic, or a liar. But he ultimately concluded that Jesus was indeed Lord. And this recognition brought this profound sense of peace, security, and stability in his own intellectual world. The third connection I want us to look at is the rejection and the acceptance of Jesus. So verse 7 to 8 reads, "Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. As it is written, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a stone that will make them stumble, a rock that will make them fall, and he who believes in him will not be put to shame.'" So Jesus can offer us a source of salvation and also a stumbling block when we decide not to follow him. So even though he was rejected by many, he was still the chosen one by God, and he represents that cornerstone that gives us his eternal life. I want us to do a little bit of a self-reflection here, to honestly assess areas where we might be tempted to reject Jesus or his teachings, maybe due to societal pressure, maybe due to our personal desires, maybe due to fear. I wouldn't say due to persecution, because there is no persecution currently going on here. But we do face persecutions as Christians in our daily lives in a different way, not only through wars or through dictatorship. We have to overcome this fear of rejection. But we have to remember that our ultimate approval only comes from God. And if we understand that, then that makes it easier for us to reject things when it is thrown at us. So last week, we learned that in the face of opposition, we should not give up, but we should look to Christ. So 7 and 8, for some, the stone is precious, because as believers, we have to recognize Jesus' profound teaching in our lives. We have to embrace his message of love and forgiveness, because Jesus offers us salvation, and we have to depend on this cornerstone that fulfills our lives. But yet, for others, the stone also became a stumbling block. So those who are disobedient in Jesus' teachings becomes very disruptive and threatening. So people, as Christians, when we reject his message, or when we cling on to traditions and beliefs, this becomes an obstacle for us, and sometimes it can lead to a conflict and a division. So Jesus is either a foundation for us, or he is a stumbling block. And we have to make a choice. Every person will have to choose this. Will Christ be our cornerstone, or will he be a stumble over us? So John chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." I came across this video which a pastor was talking about the differences between being a fan and also being a follower. And I just wanted to share a little bit. If you are a fan, it means you are comfortable. If you are a follower, you are committed. If you are a fan, fans are consumers and followers are contributors. If you are a fan, fans sit in the stands. But if you're a follower, followers all get into the game. Fans become spectators and followers become participants. Fans are part-timers and followers are full-timers. Fans follow the crowd, but followers follow Christ. Fans listen to the word, but followers actually practice the word. Are we fans or followers of Christ? Can we examine the foundations upon which we are building our lives? And that's a question I want us to take with us today. Are we truly building on the solid rock of Christ, or we are just relying on shaky grounds which can move us about? So this morning, I want to urge all of us to embrace Christ as our cornerstone, to completely put our trust in Him, to live as living stones, not just stand apart and watch or stand aside, but kind of participate in the life of the church and actually serve Him faithfully. True security and fulfillment can only be found in Christ. And sometimes, yes, our foundations can be shaken, but we know from this message today that Christ offers us that true stability and security that we yearn for. He is the living cornerstone in our lives. I want to end by extending an invitation for us to embrace Christ as our cornerstone. And I want to take this verse from the song, King of Kings, Majesty. God of heaven living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me falls at His throne. Your majesty, I can but bow. I lay all before you now. In royal robes, I don't deserve. I live to serve your majesty. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before you today because we know and we believe that you are the true source of our security and our stability. As we've listened to you this morning, Lord, we pray that, Heavenly Father, even if our foundations become shaken, we know that you are the true source. You are the true foundation, the true living stone, the cornerstone, the all-inclusive stone that we can build our lives on. We can rely on you and you will never fail us. Let our reliance on you be more and let our reliance on man reduce, Lord. Let us completely believe you because you, Lord, are the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you this morning for what you've given us, Lord. And as we live here, may we continue to shine. May we continue to express the love, the compassion, the peace, and all the characteristics that you have. May we be able to show these unto others. Help us not to stand aside, but help us to be involved. Help us, Lord, that we will put the gifts and the talents that you've given us into good use. Don't let us waste all this talent, Lord. Because, Lord, if we don't use it, we know we will lose it. So help us, Father, to continue to believe in you. because you make the difference in our lives. This morning, we want to give it all to you, and we are before you and finding the security in you. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.